is bitten the dust. London calling. See, we ain't got no swing except for the rain and the truncheon thing. The ice is coming, the sun's zooming in. Meltdown expected, the wheat is within. Engines stop running, but I have no fear, 'cause London is drowning. Imitation zone. Forget it, brother, you can go it alone. London calling to the zombies of death. Quit holding out and draw another breath. London calling, and I don't want to shout, but while we were talking, I saw you nodding out. London calling, see, we ain't got no hide, except for that one with the yellowy eyes. The ice is coming, the sun's zooming in. Engines stop running, the wheat is going through a nuclear error. But I have no fear, 'cause London is drowning. And I'm by the river.
Keep on. John.
Hello.
Hi.
Don't you just love Earth, Wind, and Fire?
They're a little dated.
Well, dated, no question about that, but I love them. I ran into them. I was having breakfast one day with my daughter, actually. We were at some hotel down here, and I looked over at this table. I'm like, darn, some of those guys look familiar, but I don't know. I walked over, it was Earth, Wind, and Fire.
They're having breakfast?
Yeah, well, that's what they do. People have breakfast.
Huh.
Yep, it was pretty cool. They were very nice.
I'm sure they were. Kind of money they had.
Yep. All right, we can start. Let me just bring up my... That, got that. Okay. Okay, ready? Here we go.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew.
Gotta start that again. I pushed a button that stopped everything in the middle of it working. Sorry.
Yes, make sure they hit the record button.
I hit the wrong button. Okay. Here we go. I think, yep.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the second day of the month of December 2025. We're wrapping up the year.
You know, what's interesting is this is going to go quick because Thanksgiving, I don't want to say it was late, but it was kind of late, right? Right at the end of November.
Yeah.
It's always towards the end of November, of course. But what's going to happen here is in a couple of weeks, on a Wednesday, it's going to be Christmas Eve. Thursday is going to be Christmas. That means nobody's working on that Friday, right?
So, right.
Then, so if you got the then the following week is exactly the same thing. You got Wednesday
New
night,
year, yeah.
New Year's. So basically, you have about 4 days to work for the rest of the year. It's pretty much what it boils down to, it looks like.
Yeah, well, next week.
Yeah, next week pretty much, and then a little bit. But everybody starts to get a little bit, you know, it's that time of year that we could take off. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. The markets are in that mode as well. They're in low volume mode already, and they're waiting to see what's going to happen. Everybody's all excited about the Christmas present that the Fed is going to bring. That is at 90% probability now that there's going to be a rate cut in the December meeting, which I think is next week or the week after. I think it's this... when is the next Fed meeting? I thought it was 16th. When is next Fed meeting? No, 16th was too late. I think it's going to be it's on the 9th. That's what, yeah, it's next week. It's a week from week from today and tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a show day.
Yep. So the next day it's going to be Tuesday they'll do the meeting. Wednesday they'll do their rate cut, and then the 2 o'clock cut. The release of the minutes or the decision, and then 2:30, the ever famous and ever popular presser, which, by the way, may not be going on for much longer because Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent has said that maybe it's time for the Fed to take it back a little bit. Maybe it's time for them to just be in the background, which I can't disagree with. I've been saying this for years.
Not at all. Yeah, they've been butting in. They're Budinskis.
Well, ever since, a little bit before this, but really since Bernanke came out with the communication strategy.
Yeah, Bernanke's the guy.
Yeah. What's the communication strategy? We're just going to talk until you believe what we're saying, right? Yeah. March them out there. Get them out there. Have if the markets don't like, if something is said that the markets don't like, they'll walk it back the next day. That's the way it works.
The worst part of Bernanke is he missed the 2008-2009 debacle to such a degree. Or was that he? No,
Bernanke. Bernanke totally missed it. 100% missed
it. Yeah, it was Bernanke.
Yeah. These are the geniuses.
And then he said, "I got to stay in awe. I made a mistake. I didn't get you know." And he studied the Depression of 1929. It's one of his specialties in college. He liked to brag about it,
which is great.
And so he goes and Jesus, I should have spotted this a mile away because other people had, except him. And then so he felt that he was the best guy to do the job since he screwed it up. The logic was just kind of elusive that
you nailed it. I mean, this is a guy that studied the Depression and the market collapse and the calamities of the 20s, 30s, and all the things that were baked into that environment, the excess leverage, the speculation, all the things in a little bit of a different way, right? Lack of regulatory.
It's always different.
Different, but very similar.
But you have to know it's always different. So you have to be even more, if you're an expert, you have to be even more cautious.
Yeah, and you have to, but that's the whole point of being an expert. You'll be able to figure these things out.
Yeah.
Versus the average guy who would have no clue about anything.
Right, you're better off with your grandmother.
So he missed it by a mile.
Picks the right stocks.
He not only did he miss it by a mile, it was right there. It was. I saw it. It was plain as day what I saw. And he had all the books and records, information. He had all. Not only was it him, but it was his entire staff. But it leads me to believe, not to go back on this craziness here, but that they purposefully missed it. There is no way that everybody that was working at the Fed, all the economists, with all their work and all their studies and all their data, missed all of this. Somebody must have said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. We'll just paper it over. We'll bring money. It's not a big deal.
No, that had to happen, sure. Yeah, don't worry about it. That would be it. Yeah,
it
don't
has
worry
to be.
About it. It's going to be bad, but it's not going to be that bad. It's not right. To worry about.
And it's the Fed. We can make it. Don't worry about it. With a little bit of pixie dust of money, we'll throw it on there. All right, let's talk about the warm-up. What do we have? We have the winner of the close to the pin for the IBIT, which was the Bitcoin Trust, and that was a pretty wild run there. As a matter of fact, Bitcoin dropped below 90,000. I think it's down close to 85,000.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody's looking for 225 by the end of the year. Not going to happen.
Yeah, well, they're wrong.
Yeah, way wrong. We're going to be announcing the participants for the Close to the Pin Cup for 2025. So pay attention. Your name's on there. We have the winners from all of Close to the Pins this year and the winner from last year, the Close to the Pin Cup, gets to compete again this year to see if it was just a one-time Harry or what.
One-time Harry.
You know, if you just won one time.
I understand, yeah.
I just made that up. I don't know where that came
from.
One-hit wonder, yeah.
Like Harry.
Like the band A-ha, the one-hit wonders. We're announcing, calling a cold red, code red, code red. Sam Altman is in a panic, calling a code red. And the tariff lawsuits we're going to talk about. And if nothing else you listen to this particular show, aside from what we're going to talk about in 1 second, which is our Thanksgiving Day feast that we talked about beforehand, what we were doing and how it actually turned out, we're going to talk about smart toilets. And we're going to learn about something called the Bristol Scale. Do you know what the Bristol Scale is?
No, but I, it doesn't sound, if it had anything to do with toilets, I'm not thinking it's anything pleasant.
No, and we have a graphic that goes along with this.
Oh, jeez.
Well, the markets, horses can smell the barn. We know the seasonal trends are active right now. The end of year is usually a... It flows to what the whole year was. In other words, if we have an up year, usually the last month is up, usually. Then again, October and September are supposed to be horribly negative, usually on average, September being the worst. October, of course, having the big crash, but September being on average a bad month. That didn't happen. So who thinks that this is, November's supposed to be a good month? It wasn't. Maybe December won't be a good month. We'll see. But seasonal trends there, we have... The Santa Claus rally starts about, I'll say, the 20th of December. That's okay. When that starts to happen. So keep a look at that. But the PR teams right now in companies are at full throttle. This is like a social media thing going on here. It is unbelievable. Just today, John, just today, the amount of news that flowed about Amazon working with NVIDIA and them working with this one, and NVIDIA buying that company, and then this company working on the AI and buying that company, and the constant, every like 3 minutes, another piece of news would flow out something about AI and a spend and a capital expenditure and a cross partnership with something to enhance the you know, it's unbelievable. The technology guys are out of control. More than ever. I don't think I've ever
seen. More than ever. Well, that's hard to believe.
But you usually see one piece of news a day. There's like, honestly, there must have been 8 pieces of news out from Amazon today on all the things they're doing and who they're working with and how AWS is going to do this or that and the chips they're using. It was really pretty amazing. So the one thing I will say about the end of the year, about the seasonal trends, there is one other seasonal trend, because everybody always thinks of the positive things right now. There is a negative trend, and that is the tax selling. That could come up towards the end of this year, especially with all the gains that people have had. And that would start probably next week, because you would want to get that in so that when the new year starts, you can buy back because you have the 30-day wash rule. So somewhere about the end of this week into through next week could be the time, and that coincides pretty well with the Fed's decision, because I think the Fed is actually going to drop rates because that's what's baked into the Fed's run fund futures, but then they're going to be hawkish. They have to be, or else they'll lose credibility. Inflation is up. There's no question about that, and it's going to go higher. All right, with that, let's stop. Let's halt. Let's pause. Let me hear about your delectable, delicious, farm-raised, no-stink turkey.
Well, actually, yeah, no. Well, it's definitely a no-stink turkey. I bought a Diestel, that turkey specialist, which are expensive, but they're at Whole Foods, and they have them pre-brined now. So it's like a brined bird. And since I put it in a master built, it can't be bigger than 12 pounds because you just can't get it in there, the smoker. Mm-hmm. And so I bought a 9-pounder. I managed to find a 9-pounder, which is the size of a large chicken, and put it in there for 3 hours. I think it went. I left it in a little. I left it in maybe too long because it could have been a little juicier, but it was cooked. And over hickory, I used hickory,
which is strong for poultry. That's a strong wood for
poultry. It is. But here's my thinking on that. I've noticed that with poultry in the electric smoker, or generally in any smoker that's not using fire, but you know, electric, mm-hmm. with a lot of smoke, that the skin is inedible.
It tastes almost rancidly burnt.
It's not like it's burnt. It's just got a. It's just an off. It's not a good taste.
Right.
So you just get. So the skin, no matter what wood you use. So my thinking on the hickory is that the hickory will penetrate the skin and get into the meat and give it a very slight smoky flavor, which it did. Mm-hmm. And so it works out. It is too strong. You're right, but it's not too strong if you're getting rid of the skin.
Yeah,
and which I don't like to do because I like to cook, you know, crispy skin if I can, and depending on the situation. But I can't do it in this thing. It just won't do it. And the bird came out beautiful. It did not stink. It tasted like they tend to taste if it's a good, the right kind of bird, an heirloom of some sort. They taste like pheasant. It doesn't taste like chicken. It doesn't taste like turkey. It tastes like pheasant.
Pheasant?
Huh. Yeah. If you have pheasant, you know what it tastes like. And this is what this tastes like. It tastes like a pheasant. And it's got the slight hickory taste. It's beautiful.
Mm, that's great. Everybody enjoyed it. That's awesome.
But the secondary thing I don't like, besides getting rid of the skin, is the fact that you can't really put dressing in it. You can't. I mean, traditionally I like to cook a turkey stuffed.
Yeah.
in an oven.
Yeah.
And so the juices of the turkey as it cooks get into the dressing, and you have this delicious turkey-flavored dressing, even though people say, oh, you got to get it out of there and put it in the refrigerator. Oh, it's going to go bad. It's going to be back. Yeah, I've been cooking the same way a turkey with stuffing in the turkey for 30 years, and I have yet to poison anybody.
Death by stuffing. Yeah. I will tell you that it turned out, by the way, my brisket, when I went and looked at it and pulled it out on Wednesday, it was Wednesday, I think, right? Yeah, Wednesday.
No, that's right. You cooked the brisket, right. After you gave the recipe, people should go back to that last show and record the recipe.
I did it exactly that way, but when I did pull it out to look at it at about 9 p.m. on, I wanted to warm up a little bit, 9 p.m. on Wednesday, I looked at it and I realized, whoo, it's a 19-pounder. It's a 19-pound brisket. Ooh. So I had to take some of the fat off. You take the hard fat off and all that. But I did cook it, and it was ready on time. It cooked all the way to until from 10 o'clock at night till 4:30 the next day. So it was like a...
That sounds about right.
Long cook.
That's the reason people don't cook this meat.
Exactly. Now, what's interesting, I also had three turkey breasts. So I had 19 pounds of and sauces, stuffing, all this stuff. But I mean, and I made the cookies, the molasses, sea salt molasses chip. I made a brand new cookie that I didn't tell you about. I made a chewy maple bourbon Heath Bar Crunch cookie. That's pretty good.
Post the recipe.
Yeah. So what was interesting, though, was that when you look at what people ate, let's just say that 90% of the turkey was left over.
Yeah, yeah. Even with my little bird, I had that problem.
Yeah, they just don't want the turkey. I mean, but they want the brisket. That was the thing. So anyway, all right, let's talk about some things. Let's just go and dive right in. I want to talk about some things we don't usually talk about. India's economy, for example. Interesting report came out that India's economy grew at faster than expected pace of 8.2% in the quarter ending September against a forecast of 7.3%. So that's good. So the government has cut consumer taxes on hundreds of items and implemented long-term, long-delayed labor reforms in its last 3 months, because it wants to keep the economy strong, because they're concerned about things like all the various geopolitical issues and all that. But the tariffs are really taking a toll too. So all this stuff is going on, which is interesting. Strongest results in 6 quarters. Now, economists said that stockpiling for the festive season, you know, Diwali, as well as expedited exports ahead of a 50% tariff deadline might have contributed to it. So they're thinking that there's some pull forward going on right now. But I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this for a second. I'm thinking, you know, what if these tariffs and the threats of tariffs, more so the threats of tariffs, not the actual tariffs, the threats of tariffs, is actually creating a massive boost to economic output in various countries around the world. And then what happens is deals are done because everybody's freaking out, right? So they're going and stockpiling and buying and doing all this stuff and manufacturing and selling and buying and sending and buying from other places. And then the tariffs are reduced down. So all of a sudden there isn't this extra cost involved. So profitability is through the roof. The only thing that will happen is a little bit of a hangover, or a hangover, sometime in the future, because all this stuff has been done ahead of time. But what if the idea was to front load everything?
I don't think that was the idea.
I don't think it was the idea either, but it'd be an interesting thesis if somebody wanted to bring that out as the threats help the global economy.
Yeah, I can see its possibility.
Yeah.
It's a typical kind of Trump stumbling onto something.
Yep. NVIDIA spreading out. I'm going to talk about that. They announced today a purchase of $2 billion of Synopsys common stock as part of a strategic partnership to accelerate computing and artificial intelligence engineering solutions. So as part of this multi-year partnership, NVIDIA is going to help Synopsys accelerate its portfolio of compute intensive applications, advanced agentic AI engineering, expand cloud access, and develop joint go-to-market initiatives. What fun words in there, isn't there?
Yeah, as it was going on, it was getting thicker.
Okay, so whatever all that means, they're going to try to make some money together.
I hiked up my pants as you kept talking.
Yeah, they're going to try to make some money together. That's what they're saying. What was interesting is that NVIDIA said to purchase Synopsys stock at 414. Now it's at 445. Nice little boost today on it. But I find this really interesting that NVIDIA is going out, doesn't necessarily have to make, for whatever reason, not making... well, they do make the buys known because we know about it now, but that was like a, I think I calculated that was like $200 million of profit already, right? 10% they made.
I'm putting it on the game.
You're going to buy it? You're going to buy Synopsys?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a S-Y-N-P, I think, or you have to look up. We have to look up the symbol.
That's what it is.
In other news, Amazon is promoting or coming out with or talking about ultra fast service. Now, do you remember when we were first introduced into this whole idea of e-commerce? And back then it was like, oh, you know, we're going to have one day e-commerce will take over.
This goes back to the late 90s.
Yeah, one day. You know, we're going to have these, you know, most people are going to be shopping online, which I'm a king of. I don't really care. This sounds terrible, but if this...
Once you get used to waiting a day, it's no big deal.
Wait a day or 2 days, I don't care. And the other thing is that I don't care if it's a dollar extra than it would be in the store. The convenience factor is ridiculous. That I can just get something to show up, that I can get a bow tie that I need for this weekend's black tie Christmas party I'm going to, that I can get it delivered to me, two of them, I'll see which one I like, assuming I like one of them, send the other one back, versus going to a store and figuring out that they have the worst selection of bow ties ever and have to go to three other stores.
If they have them.
Right, right. Dillard's, Macy's, where else am I going, right? Saks, whatever's. And they have terrible selection. They won't have the color. They may be out. They can get it to me 4 days later. Then I really need it, you know, after the fact. The convenience factor is unbelievable. So Amazon is now introducing ultra fast service. Now, the parent company of Instacart fell 4% after this situation. They're testing this ultra fast delivery of groceries in Seattle and Philadelphia.
Yeah, the grocery thing, I have yet to imbibe. I actually do like going to the grocery store.
I enjoy that.
And seeing what's fresh, maybe, what looks good. You have a choice of things. And getting inspiration. Oh, this is interesting. Oh, maybe I can do that. You know, if you like to cook, you like to shop. But,
yep.
Last time I went to Whole Foods, I don't go there that often. There's better places to shop, but I went there, and the place was crawling with these little carts and these bags all jacked up, and these maniacs running around taking stuff and throwing them in the bags, all for the delivery. It was like half the store consisted of people shopping for somebody else.
Let's focus on the lime. Just a lime. The limes. The lemons. Lemons and limes. We're going to focus on lemons and limes. Do you think that person with that little cart is going to spend a moment looking at what particular lemon or lime may be the right one that they want to buy?
No, and in fact, they rush around so much because they're on the clock, and you can tell that they're not doing this casually. They're in hurry-up mode because you watch them. They're holy mackerel, where they're moving. They're moving fast. They're not walking at a normal pace, and... No, why would they? You just grab two lemons and throw them in. You're good to go.
There's no way to buy produce, meats. You know, can you imagine like stepping up? I'd like to buy a steak and
meat. Yes, there's when you go to the meat counter. I don't know if this is too off topic for our listeners, but I don't think so. You go to the meat counter and you're going to get, for example, at Whole Foods, they do have a dry aged beef, which is killer.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be a you know, you want to get the New Yorks. And so there's a row of them and you see one that's just beautiful.
Right. Third up from the bottom.
Yeah, that one. They're feeling around. This one? No, no. Up, 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 up. Yep. No, this one? Up, up. No, 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 no. Down.
Are you watching me?
Right over it.
Every time. Every time that happens. Yep. So, but they're not doing that.
The shoppers can't do that. They won't.
They won't do that.
They won't don't do have that. Time to do it. That's
not.
The problem.
Of course. So anyway, the thing that's interesting is the deliveries are going to take about 30 minutes or less. Now, I don't know if that means from the time you order it till you get it. How is that even possible? I mean, it's I don't know how that's possible.
It's not.
So
they should change that.
DoorDash and other delivery companies also fell. So that they're in competition. 30 minutes seems a little bit fast. And in fact, I'll go so far as saying that I wouldn't want my stuff brought to me that fast because that would only be a 15-minute shop. That would be, if you're buying box stuff and canned stuff, who cares? That's fine. So, something going on there. MicroStrategy, also known as Strategy. You know, this is the Michael Saylor. This is the leveraged Bitcoin company that...
Yes, the leveraged Bitcoin company.
I don't even know what the company has these days and if they have a real product.
Bitcoin.
Yeah, okay, fine. Scott, stock has been under pressure. It's a leveraged Bitcoin play. The company has come out with this very heady discussion of why Bitcoin is the answer to all ills. And Michael Saylor gives you a very cogent, a very intellectual, a very almost immersive discussion about stuff every time he talks. And half the stuff you don't even know what he's talking about. And you have to be like a Bitcoin bro to kind of really get it. And what he did was he turned his company into a leverage play on Bitcoin, issuing massive debt and convertibles to then buy Bitcoin at every chance he has.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Stock is down 39% this year, 52% over the 1 year.
It's leveraged, so it's going to be exactly
huge leverage. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this thing could actually go bust.
Yeah, it could. People are worried about it.
I think we had this as a short on the game at some point.
Not recently.
Anyway, the stock was up 400% in the last 5 years, so that's impressive. But Bitcoin dropping below 87 before staging this recovery. I think the MicroStrategy was up 6 or 7% today. But still, 52% drop in his stock because of leverage. I'm just telling you, just as a possibility, this if Bitcoin does continue down, this can bust. I mean, you could take a real
With all that leverage, mm-hmm. That's the problem with leverage. Mm-hmm. It's great if you want to make money.
Right. Exactly. You want to talk about the devil's metal? I never heard this
the
phrase.
Devil's metal?
I never heard about this phrase till just today, I think.
I never heard it ever.
That is what silver is called.
Why?
You know, I knew you were going to ask that, and I... what?
You were right.
Devil's metal. Devil's metal is nickel or silver, both nicknamed for the extreme volatility and price fluctuations. Silver is called this because its price can jump or plummet dramatically and unpredictably, particularly in the world of speculation and trading using futures and options. Devil's metal. So, silver on fire. Outpaced gold in 2025, growth of about 71% this year compared to gold, 54%. I have a lot of clients that have a bunch of this stuff. I bought silver personally from Costco. Didn't I tell you that?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I bought silver from Costco.
I thought you told me you also bought gold at Costco.
Did I buy gold at Costco? I bought something at Costco. I feel like I bought gold and silver. I don't know why I'm thinking I didn't buy gold there. I have gold coins.
I have gold coins, but I have mostly silver coins, and I got a bunch of them.
I got these
must be worth at least $100.
No, I have these blocks, these 10-ounce blocks of silver.
Oh, that sounds reasonable.
Yeah, this the nice. It's a cool thing. It's like a bigger thing that when you see like James Bond betting those square things at the casino. You know what I'm talking about? He has those like...
Yeah, vaguely.
Yeah. Anyway, silver mine production has been decreasing for the past 10 years, especially in Central and South America due to mine closures, resource depletion, and some infrastructure challenges. So the industrial demand for silver, this is what's going on right now, is expected to decline slightly in 2025. The thing is, it's interesting, the metal is being used for things like electric vehicles, AI components, and photovoltaics. So some people were saying that they were having to transport their silver by plane rather than on cargo ships to meet the delivery demand too. So like a lot of weird stuff is going on with this. I think it hit $58 today. It went back up.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. I know it was moving. I mean, it went to 51 a couple of weeks ago and then dropped below 50 again, and now it's shot up again.
Yeah, silver price. Let's see. It's 59. 59.18.
Wow.
So let's see what the max is here.
What's its all-time high?
I would like to say 59.14. That's it. I think it's at a high.
Huh.
Yeah, it's definitely the high. It's today. Yep. Now, I bought mine at $42, my bars. That was only like, when was 42? Like 3 months ago or something like that? Here, September. Yeah. September it was 42. Pretty good.
That was a good buy.
Yep, good buy. Let's talk.
I keep picking up those 1 ounce coins from every time we do a meetup for the No Agenda show, which I should mention is couple times a week.
Yeah. How was your Thursday? Wait. How was your Thursday? How was your Thursday? No Agenda. It's on Thursdays, of course, and Sundays with Adam Curry. How was your Thanksgiving show?
I thought it was an excellent show, but we had a very low production of donations, unusually low.
Mm.
And because nobody works, you know, the big shots, and they've long since figured out that, why bother? It's not worth the trouble working on these holidays. But we work all the holidays.
Right.
And it was a good show. We did a good show on Sunday, too. It was actually a couple of good ones.
Yep. Always a good one. Yet to hear a bad one that I'm aware of. Let's take a moment and talk about Interactive Brokers, because this is something interesting. This is becoming very popular, the predictive markets, the predictive ability to use a financial contract, so to speak, to actually use it for your portfolio for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, this is huge.
Yep. So Interactive Brokers has something called Forecast Trader. And here's a question that they're asking right now. Will President Trump nominate Kevin Hassett as Fed chair? So at IBKR Forecast Trader, the yes was actually recently trading at 77%, and the no is at 21%. And with Interactive Brokers forecast contracts, you can trade on future events like climate change and the economy, politics. You choose yes or no. And if you're right, you get paid. It's that simple. You can explore trending data, spot the trends, and make your prediction. Trade forecast contracts in Interactive Brokers and earn a dollar for every correct prediction. So, for example, if you wanted the yes contract and it was at 77%, basically you're going to pay, you know, around there, and you're going to make up and make 23, you're going to get a dollar. So it's 23 cents profit on that. Plus, you'll earn 3.37% APY on your investment with an interest-like incentive coupon. And you get $3 for signing up with Forecast Trader, which you can use for any purpose to start trading. Forecast contracts are not suitable for all investors. Go to ibkr.com/forecast and start predicting today. The last day for trading this contract is January 21st, 2026, I believe. Yes, 2026.
Yeah, that would be it.
Mm-hmm.
He gets picked after that.
Yep. So who knows if he's going to make an announcement before that. But this is a really interesting thing. As a matter of fact, coming up this week on the Disciplined Investor podcast, we're going to dive into this whole discussion of predictive markets.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. And there's some things that you could do with it that are these binary outcomes. It makes it really interesting because you can do things like, instead of saying, well, I'm going to invest in this because the Fed may or may not cut, or, you know, you can actually just pick up a contract that says the Fed is
going to whether the Fed cuts or not.
That's it. Simple.
You should look that one up. It's probably outrageous.
It's probably 95%. Exactly.
Put a dollar down to get a dime.
Yep, exactly. Some Trump updates. He reiterates his view that Chairman Powell should reduce rates, by the way. Says he's negotiating with Democrats on health care. And plans to give refunds out from the collected tariffs, which is kind of interesting because, you know, that's going to become a problem. Because right now, I think Walmart, do I have Walmart in here? Walmart is suing. Let's see. Is it Walmart? Tariffs. Let's look this up if I have it in here. Costco is filing.
That's right. Costco is suing over the tariffs.
Yep. So Costco filed a lawsuit asking for a full refund of tariffs the warehouse club giant has paid since President Donald Trump imposed reciprocal and fentanyl tariffs earlier this year.
Yeah.
They sued the Trump administration to get a full refund if paid and block those import duties and from continuing to be collected from the retail warehouses. There's a Supreme Court case coming and all that. And Costco is worried that it will lose the money even if the tariffs were deemed illegal because there's like a cutoff time. There's like a certain date that there's...
I think they've lost the money.
I think so?
Yeah, I don't think they're...
Could you imagine, though, what that's... If the tariffs are deemed illegal, first of all, it's a mess. But second of all, companies just paid money that they shouldn't have. That's going to be a big problem for the government. It's not Trump. It's the government. It's us. We're going to have to give the money back. Maybe that's the plan too.
They're getting their money back.
Maybe that's the plan. Maybe that's the plan also.
Their money is gone. This is like, getting your money back from a scammer.
Right. You got to put on like the Madoff guys who somehow managed to get back like all their money.
Yeah, that'll be the day.
Yeah. Well, there's some crying going on. Supposedly SoftBank Group founder Miyoshi Son downplayed the decision to offload the conglomerate's entire NVIDIA stake, saying he was crying over parting with his shares. Speaking in a forum on Monday in Tokyo, he addressed the November disclosure that the firm has sold its holding in the American chip darling for $5.83 billion. According to him, he said that he wouldn't have made the move if he didn't need to bankroll its next artificial intelligence investments, including a bet on OpenAI and data center projects. So I'm going to say something for the record right now. I've talked about this to other people. I haven't said this out loud, I don't think, in this kind of forum before. I would like to say that Sam Altman, we know who he is, right?
Everybody knows who he is.
Full of shit. He is a bright guy that is almost like a P.T. Barnum, but worse. He is one of the great manipulators of information and
Pied Piper. Why don't you use the right word?
What is he? What?
Salesman.
He's a salesman. Pied Piper, salesman, yeah. Yeah, he's a salesman. But salesman could be okay.
But he's selling air. You're supposed to be okay to be a salesman. But that doesn't mean that all salesmen are okay. Some of them abuse their skill set. And that's what we have.
Yep, exactly. So I don't know. It seems to me that this is going to continue to become a problem the more he speaks. He's now talking about this Code Red. Code Red.
This is all part of his sales pitch. I mean, the guy, as a salesman, he should be studied as such because his techniques are a little different than the two classic old-fashioned sales guy, how you doing type of guy. It's more of a soft sell that is just remarkable how good he is.
Yeah, he's great. This is like a Miyoshi Son. This is like an Elon Musk. This is like many of these others that hold these magic carrots. There is no reason in the world that Tesla's over $400 per share. Its sales stink, but it has other products behind it. And the robotaxi that, they just keep on saying is coming. This has been coming.
Man, we have our robo taxis out here in the Bay Area, the San Francisco Bay Area. They've been in San Francisco for a year, a couple of years now. These Waymos, they're actually Google. And they've now given the go-ahead to put them in the East Bay where I live. And then they're going to let us go use them to go to Sacramento if you wanted to. So it's from South San Francisco all the way to Sacramento on both sides of the bay, except that Marin County hasn't picked up on it. Are going to have these Waymos. They're going to be everywhere, and they're people love them. They like them better than Uber. And I think this is an interesting play because Uber is going to take it in the shorts if these things keep taking over the place.
It's the again, the dangling that's going on from all these companies on what will be in the future is amazing. And people love it. You know, they're buying into it because if it happens the way they've described, it will be a very good thing for investors.
Yeah, but unfortunately, as we know, especially with tech, it's only good for maybe 10% of the investors at the end of the day.
That's where the problem comes in with Sam Altman. The problem comes in that the technology they have isn't even proven technology. And I will tell you that I am so frustrated with Copilot. Remember the time I shared that Copilot with you that I had on my cell phone, on my mobile?
Oh, yeah, Copilot. I
He's
don't
very
use it at
interesting, but
all.
I told him I can't take it anymore. I don't want you telling me that every single time. Hi, Andrew, what are we going to dive into today? It's a beautiful day outside. How are you? I'm like, dude, just come on and just say hello. And then I said
So it's
something.
getting chummy.
Oh, but not only that, and I keep yelling at him. I go, I don't want to hear any of this stuff. Just give me the facts. I said something to the, what was I saying? Oh, I said, what is the average temperature in Scotland in January? Well, that's interesting. Let's talk about averages. Averages come in many things. We talk about baseball, this and that. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you talking about? Why are we talking about averages? I want the average temperature. He's getting crazy. He's like drunk. Hears half of what you say and answers a ridiculous question. And then asks you a question after that. So, why are you interested in averages? Let me talk to you. Let me know. Love to chat with you about it. Like, really? No, I don't want.
Wow,
No.
that's terrible.
Yeah. It's annoying. So, anyway, Code Red, Chief Executive Sam Altman from, OpenAI, he declared a Code Red on Monday, urging his staff to improve its flagship product, ChatGPT, and indicated the startup's once bulletproof lead is eroding as competitors like Google and Anthropic close in. So in the memo reported by the Wall Street Journal and the Information, Altman said the company will be delaying initiatives like ads, shopping, and health agents, and personal assistants. Hold on. Let's stop for a moment. Me think this company needs revenue to pay for the hundreds of millions, in fact, 1.5 trillion that it has guaranteed, or not guaranteed, it is said it's going to be,
Promised.
promised in a variety of different places, inclusive of Microsoft, NVIDIA payouts, Oracle, etc. So those things that he's saying we're going to stop to improve ChatGPT, to get greater speed and reliability, better personalization, ability to answer more questions. Isn't that a problem if you're going to stop the things that are going to be like ad shopping and health agents? I don't know. Maybe that needs to happen. But what's interesting is that they don't have a lot of time to come up with the money. And I would dare say that it's not the easiest thing to come up with $1.5 trillion of excess capital.
No, but if you get people like SoftBank to drop all their Nvidia stock and give them the money, move the money over to OpenAI, and you have a bunch of those, it's not as tough as it looks.
Yeah, true.
I mean, they really, this is a Pied Piper scheme if there ever was.
Yep, I agree. I agree. All you have to have is a kind of a weird look with buggy eyes and a weird hairdo. People seem to give you a lot of money. Is that a thing, by the way, that you have to look like a crazy Albert Einstein to?
That's pretty recent because Peter Thiel never looked like that. Michael Dell never
Michael Dell never did. He's always looked good. Peter Thiel didn't look like that, and then now he looks like somebody that's in a biker gang.
Well, I haven't seen him recently.
With the beard, let's see.
He had a beard?
Peter Thiel, yeah, didn't he have?
No, Peter Thiel with a beard would look ridiculous. He looked like Ted Cruz.
He had a beard for a while, I'm telling you. Beard.
He had a beard on his face, is what you're saying, right?
Versus what? Didn't he have a long beard for a little while there?
I'm glad I got that one over your head. Shot right over.
No, I know. Yes, a beard on his face. It wasn't someone standing next to him. Okay, let's talk about stocks being overvalued. The cape ratio. Look at this. Do you see that little button there to push? This is on the episode notes and show notes for episode number 780 on dhunplugged.com. We're talking about...
This one that says cape ratio?
Yeah. Look at where it is. It's above where it was in 2020. It's back where it was back in 1999.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people think.
This is a very overvalued situation. Not only that, I wouldn't mind it as much, but for the fact that it's so far over its 10-year average. The CAPE is the cyclically adjusted price-to-earnings ratio, which is already an average deal, and now it's average over its 10-year average. That's very high.
Yeah, it's over the 10-year average, but not as much over the 10-year average as it was in 99.
Clearly. That was bad.
So that tells me this market has a good year.
We shall see. We shall see.
I mean, the Democrats would love it to collapse before the midterms next year. That'd be perfect for them. But I think Trump's got enough wherewithal to keep it going past the midterms and let it collapse in 27. 27 doesn't look like a good year.
Is that one of your cycles? Is there something in there?
It's close, but it's not quite one of my cycles.
Isn't it close to like a 100-year cycle, like 1927?
Well, that's an interesting idea. But the cycle tends to be 80 years.
What would that be? That would be 1947?
Well, there's a 40-year cycle and an 80-year cycle. The 40-year cycle has it as it's really a ways off. But there's these little in-between crashes, like 87, for example. Another seven, you're ending in a seven flash crash.
2007?
Yeah, flat. These are, 2007 was pretty dramatic. I can see a flash crash.
That could happen. Well, look at the next one. Look at the consumer confidence, where that's going. Now, this is we are at almost the low of where we were in April 2022.
Yeah, this chart really concerns me because, and I'm wondering about its legitimacy, because of the numbers that people are spending money for the holidays.
There is a discussion out there about what people say and they do are two different things.
Well, that we've always known that, but this particular chart has been fairly accurate.
Yeah.
Over the decades.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying there's something wrong with the chart, or is something wrong with the potential for people to be spending, or what's the wrong side?
Well, the wrong thing is that you have these low numbers, but the high spending is going on.
I think sometimes people have low confidence, but they want to, you know, they want to spend stuff to make themselves feel better. You know, like, I want to buy jewelry. I want to buy food. I want to buy clothes. I want to, you know, I'm feeling crappy. Let me go buy something to cheer myself up. I think people have no, ever since the 2007-8-9 crash, ever since COVID, people are just like, the hell with it. Let me just live now.
If you look at this chart, December 9, 2019, where the COVID began, this chart has gone downhill ever since COVID.
Yeah, that's true.
With upticks, but the upticks are counter to the prevailing trend of it going down.
Right. I mean, you have that one nice spike that looked like it was going to hold back in 2024.
Yeah, yeah, dude, that was almost a Head and Shoulders, actually.
Exactly what that is. You can see it right there. Very classic look at that. And if it is a Head and Shoulders, you have to take the top to the neckline, so that would be from 80 to 65, then take 65 down to 50, and that's right where we are. That's where you end. So, interesting stuff. Moving along. AI takeover. You know, Elon Musk said that in a number of years, nobody's going to be working because AI is going to be doing everything, right? No need to work.
Luck with that prediction.
So MIT is out on Wednesday last week. They released a study that said that artificial intelligence can already replace 11.7%, I don't know where you get these round numbers, of the labor market, as much as $1.2 trillion in wages across finance, which makes me feel great, health, and professional services. The study was conducted using a labor simulation tool called the Iceberg Index that was created by MIT and Oak Ridge National Laboratory. So it now simulates how 151 million U.S. workers interact across the country and how they're affected by AI and corresponding policy. I think this is a lot of fluff and innuendo and maybes, and let's stuff some data in there to make it look like something kind of study.
A lot of corporations are loving this because now they can use that as an excuse to do their cutbacks. They're laying off people and saying, well, it's AI. It's not AI. They're laying off people because they don't like their numbers. Nobody I know is being replaced by AI.
If you have 2020, there was some, I was talking to somebody, who was I talking to, that says a lot of the people that in the job, travel guides, travel agents, that kind of thing. There's a bunch of people that are really concerned and being, you know, they're slowly but surely losing money. And there's other industries too. It's happening. Maybe the hiring is not going to happen. I got to tell you, something like a proofreader, a secretary, there's certain things that, for example, one of the things that you don't need.
Proofreading with AI stinks.
No, it doesn't stink. It's,
I can assure you.
I don't know. I've had proofreaders that are live and living that are awful. They miss stuff all the time. But what about things like receptionist? Who has a is there a dedicated?
When's the last time you've ever talked to one? They've been replaced years ago.
I know.
By an automated machine, and it's not AI that's replacing them. There's these answering machines with old code. I mean, this is nothing new.
But I'm saying that is what is the next level is going to be the issue, as I see it. It's going to happen. There's going to be replacement. Now at this level, I don't know. There's also a certain amount of replacement that you can have. You know, there's some principles in a lot of economic theory that says you need people doing just mundane jobs just to keep an economy going. You know, some thesis is, you know, you want to create messes. You want to create a glass break. You want to create some kind of car accident in order to keep people employed doing things and the cogs and the wheels turning in the economy.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
The AI can't go out and buy stuff.
Nope, can't. Got to keep on moving here. Fat cutting. Eli Lilly has said it's lowering the... So is Novo Nordisk on its Wegovy. But Eli Lilly is lowering its cash price of a single dose vials of its blockbuster weight loss drug Zepbound on its direct-to-consumer platform, Lilly Direct, starting December 1st. Listen up for all you fatties out there that want to lose some weight. Which is everybody that I know wants to do this. It's like an epidemic in Florida. Everybody's like, "Oh, what dose are you on?" cash paying patients with a valid prescription can pay $2.99 to $4.49 per month with Lilly Direct, down a little bit from about $50 lower than they were paying. So that's kind of interesting because when this first came out, it was like $1,300 a month. In a feel-good story, entrepreneur Michael Dell today announced that he and his wife Susan will deposit $250 in the individual investment accounts of 25 million American children. There's something called, Donald Trump's calling it the Trump account. the Trump, you know, the Trump education account. It's actually called something else, but the Trump account, we'll call it. This new program where each kid that's born from now through 2027 is going to get $1,000. You know about this, right?
Yeah.
So that's going to grow tax deferred. They could take it out for education things.